Joey, going into Las Vegas, coming off the Daytona 500, obviously some people call this the start of the season. What do you think about the thoughts coming into the second race season, first mile and a half track for the 22 team?
Yes, getting rolling. A lot of change that you guys all know about at Team Penske. So it's kind of been a fun experience through Daytona. Daytona is a unique beast, as you guys know, and we're kind of glad to get out of there and get out here to Vegas and. Start working on our cars in a different way than what you do in Daytona. And as we go through this West Coast swing, a lot of things will change pretty quickly. And as we, Paul and I and, all of us just try to keep linking up on what means the most on the racetrack and what we need to focus on and how to race. And so we got a lot of work ahead of us, but I'm excited about it. It's been a fun challenge so far.
Okay, if any questions for Joey, please raise your hand. We'll get your mic. Start up here with Jeff.
Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. As a race car driver, how do you process that, what you saw with Newman at the end of the 500?
Man, it's hard to process it because immediately, and I think we all kind of probably thought the same thing, is you kind of think the worst and you really hope for the best. And, just by the looks of it and what happened, you're just like, I don't. Like, this is bad, and obviously it was. But wow, what a miracle to see him walking out with his kids the other day. Who'd have seen that coming? That's amazing. To be able to do that so quickly says a lot about the medical team that goes to the racetracks with us. Obviously, that's a tough situation to figure out how to get someone out of the car in a safe way, get to the hospital. And treat and care the way we need to. Obviously, the crash itself was, probably the worst spot possible. Coming to a checkered flag like that, nobody lifts, unfortunately. Everyone just drives to the start-finish line, and that's why you see sometimes crashes like that at the super speedways at the end of a race. And it couldn't have been in a worse spot at a car, but, to kind of see that, he's gonna be okay from what I hear. It's awesome. It's amazing. It says a lot about what our race cars are, and I think even this next gen car in some of those areas where the impact was seems to be from the design, from at least my non-engineering degree perspective, looks like it should be stronger in that spot. So I'm glad to see that NASCAR is already looking at it even before this. In that area, and look forward to getting in that car and having something even safer to drive. So, a lot of huge impacts down there. I mean, even my impact was maybe the hardest one I've taken as well, being in the door like that and having no give. You end up absorbing a lot of it, but everything did its job, and we all walked away. So, I texted Newman. You guys get kicked out. So I texted him. I said, I knew it wasn't your neck that broke. I don't think you can do that. We have a neck joke going back and forth because I got a long one, he's got none, and we had a good joke about that at least. So his sense of humor seemed to still be there.
Go to Lee, and then back to Chase.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. You're one of the taller guys in the garage, and I know you've driven at least one of the first generations of the Gen 7 car, but there's been talk about them moving the seat around and. Whether or not you'd be able to see if it was lower down into the, I guess if the seat fit lower down in the chassis or lower down in the car. What were your initial thoughts as far as your, leg placement and the vision in the cockpit?
Yeah, better. It's no secret. There's zero advantage of being tall as a race car driver, from the weight aspect or even the safety aspect, there's you're going to be you're higher in the car, your legs are cramped up more. Obviously, you need all the space that's in the cockpit. One of the things when I was in the meetings about the next gen car, as I brought up, is that we need to make sure we have enough room in the cockpit for a taller driver. Obviously, that's important to me. And when I drove that thing in Phoenix, just initially sitting in it, I sit quite a bit lower in that car. I have more headroom to the roll cage, which is really important. Obviously, we see why that's important to have some room up there. And I was able to see plenty fine. I'm one of the taller drivers. That may be the advantage, is that I can see a little bit more being taller. But if you're shorter, you just raise the seat up, you know, and you can see as well. So visually, no issues. You know, I think we're sitting a little bit more towards the center of the car, which is a good thing. And then also, you know, being lower, your head is being lowered into what the roll cage is also a huge positive. So those are all good things.
Mm-hmm. I know you guys talked after the clash, but...
Yeah, we talk. We all talk. Isn't that crazy? We can communicate. Isn't that the craziest thing? I swear we're not in high school, guys. We can all talk about things. It's okay.
Go to the back to Chase, and then we'll go to Tyler.
Joey Chase, Wilhelm, NASCAR.com. You haven't finished worse than 12th since 2012 here at Las Vegas. What is it about this place that just clicks for you?
I don't know. Honestly, it's one of those racetracks I think early in my career, I think one of my first top 10s was actually here when really I didn't run good anywhere. And it's something about Vegas that kind of clicked for me right off the bat. It's been a really good racetrack for us. We finally won here. You know, it took a while, but our average finish and the consistency has been there for a long time. So that's a great thing. But I don't know, something about it just fits my style. You know, I think you can move around, it's fast. You know, you get two corners that are completely different. You got a lot of bumps you got to deal with. It takes a lot to make it work. But I think, you know, if you look at Team Penske as a whole, obviously Brad's been very good here. This 22 car has been good as well. So I think just kind of putting the Penske deal together and also with the driver pairings, I think it just ends up being a pretty good match for us.
Go to follow from Chase, then Tyler, then Mark.
So, you mentioned Brad Keselowski also has a lot of success. Does that give you even more confidence having Paul Wolf on the box now and given that prior success?
Yeah, it's kind of been fun conversations because it's like, well, what's different between your car and what I ran last year here? And, you know, there's a lot of similarities at this racetrack from what we both ran. But, you know, you just kind of talk those parts out. And, you know, I was kind of open to it. I said, hey, listen, you guys ran good. I ran good here last year. I mean, kind of go with what you feel like is the best. And we'll kind of deal with it as we get through practice and tune the balance in or make adjustments from there. So, you know, and that's kind of how it's going to be, I think, for the most part, the beginning part of the season is don't change it to me quite yet. Do what works for you, and then we'll kind of adjust as we go along.
Tyler Burnett, MRN. Looking ahead to next week, Joey, that's a place that you guys haven't been to in a while. So what do you think the cars will react like knowing that you haven't been to Auto Club for a long time? And also, who would play Jimmy Johnson in a movie, an actor?
Cool. I'm going to go with the Auto Club question because that seemed easier. you know, Auto Club to me is maybe one of the coolest racetracks we go to. It definitely is one of the coolest. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of great things about it. Being able to move around the racetrack, tire wear, the draft. Man, you really got a good mix of the Daytona type of big draft going on and then a mix with, you know, a mile and a half type handling and needing to find room in the corners and those type of things. And it makes it for a really, really fun race. I enjoy it. I love going out there and really want to win there because they got a really, really cool trophy to surfboard in the old Woody wagon and all. It looks really cool. I don't watch enough movies or know any actors to know who would play Jimmy Johnson. I don't know any names. I'm a horrible person to ask. I'm sorry. I can't sit down in front of a TV long enough.
Keanu Reeves. Go to Bob.
Sure. That's, yeah.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Did Ryan text back? And if so, what'd he say?
Yeah. He joked about it and laughed back and forth about it, you know. So, you know, as I said, it's a good to see him, you know, walking, obviously, but also being Ryan still, you know, that nothing's really changed. So I think that's, you know, something that I think we're all so happy about. And I just felt for everyone in the situation. You know, I think of, you know, Blaney, I think of LaJoy, all in the, you know, in the crash, and then that happening, you know, although it wasn't any of their faults, obviously, you're involved in it, and you're going to relive that in your mind, and I know that situation, so I reached out to them as well, because I just felt like, man, that's hard, you know what I mean? I think everyone kind of forgets about that situation as well, but, you know, it should, you know, right, all attention should be on Newman, but it also, you know, those guys that, you know, are so close to what it was, and there's really not anybody here besides drivers that can understand the situation that they were put in and had to kind of, you know, get through for the next couple of days until they hear Ryan's okay. You know, that's a very tough spot as well.
And you were talking about whether NASCAR will put in another bar or something there. Is that something that would go where the window net is and then would be something that you think you – I guess the question is there a way to do it where it can be removable so if you do need to get out of the car quickly that you can?
You're talking to someone who just has an RCD, so I don't have anything else besides a race car driver diploma. So you like that, RCD? You like that? Yeah. I was going to say NCD. That's no college degree, but I feel like I have an RCD at this point. Which that's not enough to have a structural engineering degree that can tell you what I need is as far as a roll cage and all that, huh? Yeah, you know, earning your RCD is not easy either. It takes a lot of years. That's a lot of years. They don't just hand those out either.
Here then, Mark.
Mike Young, LasVegas.net. I was thinking about field of vision. With all these improvements, it seems like less and less vision. You know, peripheral especially. I wonder. You know, when you're racing to the green flag or to the checkered flag, are you getting much input from your team, or is that really just up to you at that point?
Yeah, I mean, your vision, our vision, our field of vision has been pretty much the same for the last, I don't know, as far as I can remember being in the sport. And when I drove the next gen car, it wasn't any different. You're still able to see quite a bit out of the car. You know, obviously we can't turn our heads and check our blind spots, but we have spotters for that, that should help along with that. And when you're going this fast, you can feel them. You know, you know when somebody's at a certain point in your car, you can feel the air working off your car. So you know, you know, sometimes if it's they're further away or things like that, that's where it's harder to see. You know, if there's more separation, that's where more challenging to see. But it's been like that for a long, long time. We try to adjust our mirrors, you know, to where we can see everything around us. But there's always going to be a little small spot that's more challenging to see, or the perception might be a little bit off.
Hone your other senses, it sounds like.
I guess so. I guess that's how it works, yeah.
Interesting.
Go to Mark.
Mark Carroll, PRN. Joey, can you explain to in a way a race fan would understand, with this package, you know, you get a sense of the draft when you guys are tight, but then you shoot to a different part of the racetrack to find some clean air. Do you feel the pull? How would you explain the pull, and how would you explain all of a sudden the sudden amount of downforce that you get when you pop out to a different lane?
Oh, man, how do you put this into words? Boy, you're asking that's a tough question to put into words of what it's like, but obviously, you know, if you get in the draft, you can, you know, you feel the acceleration in the car, you know, especially now with this 550 package, as much wide open as you are. When you get a tote from someone, you feel that, you know, a little bit more speed, RPMs come up, you know, depending on if you're getting a car from behind or you're getting a push from, you know, behind you or you're getting a tote ahead of you. You can kind of, you can feel that. You're getting side drafted. It's like putting the brakes on. I mean, you can really feel that. You know, in dirty air, it's unpredictable. Is kind of the situation is. It's very turbulent. As you can imagine, driving down the road behind a tractor trailer, sometimes if you're driving a bigger car, you can feel the turbulence. Well, you're only going 70 miles an hour when that happens, right? You know, now you're going, you know, 180 or whatever we're doing. You know, in obviously a pretty big hole in the air, and we're relying on every bit of it we can. Then you know, obviously when it's when a car goes to a different lane that you weren't expecting them to and takes your air after you committed to driving into the corner at a certain speed, that's where you see, and rewatching some of the races, I've seen it happen here in the spring, is where, you know, you expect a car to go to the bottom, and then you've been running to the top, and someone runs the top, and boom, you're in the wall, right? It happens that quick. That's why you see restarts and stuff are just kind of crazy, trying to figure out where everyone's going to go. Because if you can find the spot where there's some clean air, great, and you can move forward. And then you got to try to find the draft on the straightaway, because if not, you'll see the outside lane tag right by you. So it's quite the thought process that you got to go through at a really quick rate to figure out what's the right moves to try to get ahead of somebody.
Do you feel the clean air as quickly as you feel the dirty air, and all of a sudden you feel things locked down, where the dirty air all of a sudden you're all bouncing all around the place? Do you feel that clean air as quickly, and what does that feel like?
Yep, and clean air, I mean, it's not like the car's locked down. It's not like you put it on a rail and it just goes, right? You're still sliding your tire. You're at the limit of the potential of the car. It's just way more than what it would be when you don't have clean air on it, you know. And understanding this aero, I always call it an aero war out there, because you're always just trying to figure out how do you get clean air, how do you get the person behind you dirty air, you know. And moving to the left side of the car, it's no secret, moving to the left side of the car is way better than moving to the right side of a car with the way the weight comes off these things. So understanding all that is it's a lot, and you really got to know who you're racing and the moves that they tend to make.
Okay, Joey, thank you so much for your time.